welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a comedy trivia podcast hosted by me, Nate Regolia, and usually Shannon Page, but Shannon's not here. You just heard our new theme song by Michael J. O'Connor, the awesome musician from Santa Rosa, California, who is a dear friend of mine, and we thank you very much for the song, Mikey. I can call him Mikey. I don't know if you guys can, but either way, find his stuff at michaeljoconnor.bandcamp.com. This week, we are going to do something very special, which is a head-to-head episode. In the past, we've just sort of blathered on directionlessly. Not with you, Chris. I'm not commenting on our relationship. But in previous iterations, when there's only been two people, it's just a talk fest. But this time, we're going to try challenging each other to a topic. So, my guest and combatant, co-combatant, and co-host this week is Christopher Deaton. Chris, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Nate. I'm hoping to bring a laser-focused bullet train of topic-driven material.
Yes, that's great. I hope to also do that.
Not just chatty bullshit. Chatty bullshit and what I just said.
Well, that's the thing, right? That's all the people are listening for. They want chatty bullshit with some semblance of a framework. Because otherwise our lives are completely meaningless. And with the structure that entertainment provides, we can finally live again.
There's nothing like a pretend relationship, a virtual relationship, if you will.
It's funny that you said the word virtual, Chris, but this week we're going to do a show about virtual reality.
Yeah.
That's my robot voice, I guess.
This is not a visual format, but I was doing wild finger pistols.
He was. Yeah. There are literally finger hole ceilings, finger holes in the ceiling from the pistols. Ah, good stuff. So, Chris, are you ready for this? Does this...
Yeah. It was off mic, but I told you about just the hours of prep that I did for this. So, I'm more than ready.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you literally could probably file for unemployment because you've been prepping for this so much.
I don't want to lose my page, but I would flip through the pages of notes that I have.
This resembles Sean Connery's notebooks from Last Crusade. Which is another Indiana Jones reference I'm making this evening, though not just the first one on mic. But it's beautiful.
It's weird the number of hand-drawn Jesus portraits. You know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially that a lot of them look like that weird lady's fresco restoration that kind of is like a moon-faced monkey man. Yeah, it's great.
For fresco, I've just used layers and layers of whiteout. It's white on beige.
You can smell it. You can really smell the benzene. It's great. So Chris, we're gonna start. I'm just gonna have you pick one of my topics first, and then we'll bounce it back and forth, and we'll just see who wins.
Yeah,
we're gonna have to score each other. So there's going to be a level to which whoever goes last gets to decide who wins.
Okay,
that's pretty much what's gonna happen. But maybe we'll be kind to each other. I don't know. We might just grow to hate each other over the course of the evening.
I'm going to find a spot in between my portraits of the Lord to keep a tally going.
All right. I like it. Okay, so Chris, I have five topics for you that pertain to virtual reality. And pick one through five.
Okay, three.
Number three. All right. So we're going to play a game. We're going to play Fuck, Marry, Kill, Chris.
Hey.
Yeah. Okay, so for Fuck, Marry, Kill this time, I want you to consider whether you would fuck, marry, or kill the following conceptions or depictions of cyberspace. You have cyberspace from William Gibson's Neuromancer. You have the metaverse from Neil Stephenson's Snow Crash. Or you have the Oasis from Ready Player One.
I definitely was pouring through plot summaries of all three of those.
And of course I was just like, no, just which one are you gonna fuck?
Yeah.
I don't care what they're about.
No, Ready Player One, I didn't go through because I think I really know that plot really well.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's really not much to it.
Yeah, well, yeah, and it's like, I don't know, it's candy. It's just straight up.
Yeah. Oh, it's
book candy.
It's a delicious bag of sci-fi Doritos.
Yeah. However, like what I would classify as some sort of weird like parsnip flavored Japanese, you know, savory candy would be, and this is controversial, and they're important books, but both of those other books that you mentioned.
Sure. Yeah. 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 Okay.
And dude, part of it, like, I think I read both of those as audiobooks.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think both of them were pretty bad narrators, mm-hmm. and they mm-hmm. both liberally used like really bad falsetto, like lady voices.
Hey, I'm the lady in the book.
Yeah. And that shit.
I want to bone you because it's a man book.
Dude. Yeah. Well, and there's like, I think there's a lot of sexual stuff in both of those.
Yeah, I mean, Snow Crash, for what it's worth, is like, I mean, it's a fun story, but it the main character is like obsessed with a 14-year-old girl for the entire book, and that's kind of the jam.
Yeah, wow, yeah. That's nice.
Yeah, it's totally reasonable.
Yeah,
it's the future.
Anyways, to get back to my pledge of laser focus.
Oh yeah.
I gotta say the Neuromancer and Snow Crash are really in my memory kind of the same book. So I was looking through the plot for the both of them, and it seemed like Neuromancer had more of like a straight up, you know, jacking into VR. Like I think that might be where they used the phrase jacking
that's where, yeah, like cyberspace as a term was coined by William Gibson, so.
And he calls it the Matrix, right?
I think he does call it that too. I mean, he basically like laid the groundwork for all of the ways we talk about the internet and technology as it is now.
Well, and doesn't he drop a bunch of like future technology as well, like some sort of tablet-y or iPhone kind of thing.
Oh, like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's that one.
That book is like, I think that book is one of my least favorite in how fun it is to read.
Yeah.
But it's so densely thought out. And
yeah.
I mean, he created so many, like he ideated all these things that now exist.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, so, I think I've got my answer queued up here. So.
All right.
Even though I just described it as candy, I think I would marry Ready Player One.
Okay.
Because even though it's like, it's thin, you know, it's real thin, but it's got all these things that I love, like the band Rush. And speaking of Neuromancer, I had Neuromancer on my topic list.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And I was going to disambiguate that I believe there's a Rush song called Neuromancer.
Oh, is there?
But anyways, Rush is like all throughout Ready Player One. So anyways, it's just like this amalgam, all these like 80s and 90s.
Oh yeah, it's
and
like
70s as well, you know.
It's like now that's what I call the 80s in pop culture, the book.
Yeah. But also like strangely, as I'm thinking about it, it kind of saddles the 80s. It's like there's plenty from the 70s and the 90s as well.
Oh, you know? Sure, yeah.
But anyways, I'm going to say that's kind of like my that's my ideal person.
Great.
In a book written by a dude. Says me, the cisgendered straight guy.
Well, yeah, but
I'm
I mean,
so confused.
I think partnering up with Ernest Cline's Ready Player One makes sense. Like, you would probably really enjoy spending time together. You'd get all of each other's references. You'd be making all of each other's references.
Yeah.
And there wouldn't be any real conflict to speak of because that book doesn't have any real conflict to speak of.
Yeah. So I think I might seek a relationship with Ernest Cline.
I love it.
Yeah, it's gonna be weird for me.
Mr. Cline, if you're listening, I will text you Chris's information.
This will be my first homosexual relationship, but I believe in mutual interest.
There you go.
Yeah. So then I guess I'm gonna fuck Neuromancer.
Okay.
Just because all that super rad stuff we just brought up. And I'm going to kill Snow Crash. I know it's got some kind of merit, but I don't remember what it was.
All right. Yeah. No, that works.
It's important in air quotes.
It is like, I think it's one of those like science fiction novels that bridged between Gibson's work and what we have now. It's like,
yeah, it seems so derivative of Neuromancer.
It's, yeah, because it's derivative, and it's also like played on. It expanded the concept of what living virtually could be, because you can go into a world that is quite similar to Ernest Cline's Oasis in Ready Player One.
Oh, sure.
Where you live in this space and you have a completely different identity. I think the coolest thing about Snow Crash, honestly, is just that it's a book that sort of tackles that in the future. We will use the internet to escape the throes of poverty, because the main character in that book lives in like a storage unit.
Yeah.
Like a roll-up garage door storage unit.
But and, like stacked.
Yeah.
With like towering stacks.
Well, in Ready Player One, it's stacks.
Oh,
But that's the thing, right? Is all of these things are sort of derivative of one another.
Oh, yeah,
and that's,
totally.
Yeah, and that's the thing. But derivation can also be distillation, right? So there's a certain extent to which, like, you've chosen to marry the distillation of these ideas down into their most deliciously pleasing format.
Yeah.
And deal with the rest. I love your answers. Very good. Good work.
Thank you.
I'm gonna give you 4 points for that question.
I appreciate it.
All right. So what do you have for me? Do you want me to pick a number? Do you just want to throw one at me? How are you feeling?
Feeling good.
Great.
How about you pick a number?
Okay. Out of five? Or should I just pick a random number? I mean, you are a programmer, so there's an extent to which I think, like, I could just pick a number and you're like, yeah, I have an idea what that number means.
Yeah, I'm also not like a real hardcore math person. Yeah, why don't you pick 1 through 6?
Okay. I would like to pick then number 4.
Okay. So, dead air is really great.
Oh, I'll gobble up all that dead air. Don't you worry.
Okay. So, as prior established off mic, uh-huh, mine are going to be the traditional, do you have a vague idea about format?
Hit me. Hit me with it. Yeah.
My whole list. So, do you have a vague idea about Le théâtre et son double? That's in French for our francophones out there, which I'm obviously not, as demonstrated by how I just pronounced that. In English, it's the theater and it's double.
Yeah, okay. Interestingly, while I was looking at topics, I saw this, and I didn't read a whole lot about it. So what I will say,
I thought you might have,
is that I believe it is a French philosophical concept around the idea of virtual reality, in that it would be basically it's performance, but it's performance sort of double duplicated to surround you. That's gonna be my fair guess. And then yeah, otherwise it's just like, oh well, hey, we went to the theater, we saw the show, we decided we're cheap, so we're gonna stay in the theater, we're gonna go hide in the bathroom, and we're gonna sneak back in, we're gonna see it again. Double.
Well, you sound like you have both gone to college and have had to lie effectively to an academic. Because
I majored in English.
Good. Yeah,
I majored in English.
Yeah,
like,
we both did.
I know.
Sometimes
what
I forget.
Yeah. No, that's the beauty. It's just about making compelling arguments that you can kind of back up with the text. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
What is le théâtre? What did you say was?
Let's just call the theater and it's double.
Okay.
I faked enough French for the day.
Great. Yeah. Okay.
So it's written by some French guy whose name I just realized that I didn't write down.
Okay.
Which it seems like pertinent information, but it was written in 1938, published in English in 1958, and it was all about theater and like theory, and the double and everything was sort of like characters and objects in theater and their interaction with the audience.
Okay. Okay.
Such high so
it's
shit.
So yeah. So it's VR AR kind of thing.
But it marks the first published and I guess known published. You know, that Wikipedia could be wrong. By the way, we were both.
Oh yeah. No. I mean,
we were on the virtual reality entry in Wikipedia.
Yeah.
I think is where we both saw. But anyways, first known published use of the word the term virtual reality.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that I do recall that now, thinking of it. And yes, we as I note in the end bumper for the show, like we take a lot of the information from Wikipedia. So you guys can support Wikipedia because it's really actually it's a wonderful resource, and you shouldn't doubt it just because it's on the internet.
Yeah,
lots of things you don't doubt are on the internet, and they're worse. Think about that for a minute.
Yeah,
actually, don't continue listening to the show. Okay, great. That was great, Chris. How many points are you going to give me for that?
Wow, sorry about that.
Oh no, you're fine.
I'm gonna give you 6 points.
Oh wow, that's so many points. Jeez,
6 points.
Six sweet points. Okay, well,
right next to the navel of Jesus Christ himself.
Yeah. It's great. It's yeah. you've got 1 through 4. What do you want to do?
Hold on, I've got some bookkeeping to do here.
Oh, keep some books.
That was 4. All right, I just gotta want to keep a tight ship here. I can choose 1 through 4.
Yes.
Said?
Yeah.
Okay. 4.
Number 4. All right. Do you have a vague idea about the Viewmaster?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
So this is like a plastic box with little sort of like if a slide, like a single slide was portioned off into a bunch of little images, like a slideshow carousel. And you hold that thing up to your sticky little baby face and click through. And it, and I guess you like hold it up to a light source. And so it's like a little handheld slideshow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely correct. Did you have a ViewMaster growing up?
I think I did.
Yeah. I definitely had one because I remember, one, really enjoying using the little like rotating whatever those are. That I don't even know. They're like cartridges or like
the thing that had the slides on it.
It's a round, it's a disc that has individual slide pieces on it.
Yeah, it's like cardboard and like some sort of transparent plastic.
Yeah. But I remember enjoying looking at those, but also just using it as a way of pretending like I had sci-fi binoculars. So I would be like reenacting Luke Skywalker spying on the Tusken Raiders he's off trying to figure out where R2-D2 ran off to. And I remember so many times with my friend like having that and looking down and then being like, oh, no. And then, they're right there. Yeah. And they're just like, oh, and then smack you in the head.
Yeah.
ViewMaster's great.
It really does look like the Luke Skywalker space binoculars.
Doesn't it? Yeah. Like, you just give it a little black spray paint and you're done.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it wasn't like dumb, like it's red and yellow.
It's bright red so the cops don't shoot you.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I assume that's why all toys are colored certain ways, is because otherwise cops will shoot anybody.
Yeah. Not in my day, man.
Mostly kids.
Yeah.
Well, no, things were different when we were younger.
We were in a real sweet spot. Like, everything was, like, flame retardant and, like, nobody was shooting anybody.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna walk that back. Plenty of people were getting shot. Plenty of people. But not you and I with our ViewMasters.
No, it's true. We were mastering our ViewNiverse without any issues whatsoever. I think I had, like, National Parks was one of the discs that I had. I'm trying to think of what else. Oh, I know, because they had like licensed content ones, because I had one that had Smurfs on it for sure. And okay. I think I had like The Muppet Show and maybe Muppet Babies. I can remember like seeing those images emblazoned in my brain.
I can't remember any of mine. I think it was definitely like licensed stuff though. I feel like Disney maybe.
Yeah, I mean it went big on it. I'm sure there was like Fantasia and all sorts of stuff. But it was kind of a safe, like, it was such a safe toy for a young kid, because it's like, this will distract and dazzle you the way that an iPad does today, but it won't create a dopamine addiction that you can never fulfill later in life.
Yeah, and like your parents couldn't, like, that. From what I remember, they didn't have like a package at the Photo Mart where you could make like your own.
Yeah.
So
oh my God, that would be
like, oh, that's Daddy's. And you're like, whoa. You're like, that was just wall-to-wall Bush.
Yeah,
like,
you don't want to look at that.
What was that?
That's Daddy's DP time.
wait, as in director of photography?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That's what it always means, right?
No, it doesn't.
Nobody ever says DP for any other reason other than director of photography.
What is it? What does it mean in the calzone chain? DP dough.
You know, I really don't know.
Me neither.
Is it just like it's supposed to be like dippy dough?
I
guess I always thought
not.
I always thought dippy, because otherwise I don't really know what it means.
Drunk people, maybe. I feel
drunk
like 90% of the time I've consumed it, I was
just
in
that's
the
true.
Bag.
That's true. Yeah. Drunk people dough. Gosh,
man, I hope it is. I bet it's not. It's probably like Dave and Pete.
Yeah. Dave Pete dough.
Gross.
Dude, if we just put our dough together, we can make a really gnarly calzone.
Hey, man, this dough that I'm eating, does it mean director of photography? And Dave and Pete just
look
at you with raised eyes. It's our dough, Sheila.
Well, great. Chris, I'm going to give you five points for ViewMaster. Well done.
Thank you.
All right. So one through four or six.
I'm going
through four
analog.
You're
you
going
some
analog.
Sort of digital.
I'm accordion
dynamic
down,
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I would do. Let's do number six. That sounds fun.
Okay. So are you familiar with the iPhone? I'm sorry. I just forgot what your podcast is called. Do you have a vague idea about the iPhone? And when I say iPhone, Nate, get ready. Are you seated? I mean EYE phone.
Oh my God. I think the iPhone UIE is the concept from Futurama where you get an implant in your actual eye that is a phone. And I know that that is a thing that happened on Futurama, so if that's not what you're talking about,
it's not.
I am going to be
Is that real, though?
Bedazzled. That, yes.
Like, well, I mean, really, from Futurama.
Yeah. They did a whole thing where they were parodying iPhones, and it was like Fry has to go in and get the newest iPhone, and it's this thing where they actually have to like put a needle through your head and inject the new phone into your eyeball. So if it's not that.
Which it's not.
I guess I'm guessing that it has something to do with Google Glass and augmented reality technology. Something where you have a computer that's also a phone that works with your vision, with your visual field, like a HUD, a heads up display.
Oh yeah.
To allow you to sort of pick up information in the world. Maybe you're like, hey, look at that. They got bananas on sale. How much are bananas at the other place? Let me say some awkward commands until you tell me how much bananas are elsewhere, so I can go there instead. I don't know. Well. What's an iPhone, Chris?
You're going to be shocked when I say no, Nate. That's not it.
I'm not at all shocked.
No, that's great though.
I'm alarmed.
Didn't know that,
but I'm not shocked.
As you should be. If you're not alarmed, you're not paying attention.
It's true. God damn it.
Bumper sticker in Boulder, Colorado told me that many, many times.
You know what else you should do?
Many
coexist in the font design of all of the major religions. Have you thought about that?
Have you thought about
just coexisting?
Have you ever visualized world peace?
I have.
That one actually really cracks me up. The coexist one is annoying, but
world peace is just silly.
Yeah, it's great. I love it. But anyways, so the iPhone is, and when I say product, I don't think this was ever like a consumer available product, but it's a thing made by VPL Research.
Okay.
Which, if you're keeping score at home and have the virtual reality entry from Wikipedia up, I think this is in the history section.
Ooh.
Under 70s.
Guys, history.
70s or 80s. That might be one subheading. I'm not sure. But anyways, it was a... So you said heads-up display or HUD. Of course, both being, you know, children of the 90s and familiar with like sci-fi action movies, you don't have to tell us what HUD means.
Yeah.
But I stumbled across the term HMD, which is sort of the umbrella term. It's head-mounted display, which is like the umbrella term for like your VR helmet and anything adjacent.
Yeah.
So anyways, the iPhone, it just blew me away that it was called the iPhone. And also, it's not a phone at all. They mean like, honestly, I don't really know what they meant. Like phone, maybe like in like Francophone or like...
Oh, so it's not even like video conferencing.
No. So anyways, I should actually just describe what this is.
No, I like that we're rolling it out slowly. It's like we're building dramatic tension.
Yeah.
The listeners are edging right now. It's great.
Yeah. Oh, woo. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. D.P. Dave and Pete. But anyways...
Give us some dough.
Yeah. No, it was like this thing. Yeah. It was in like an early VR helmet. And yeah, it was, I was rushing through hours and hours of deep research and, there was a bunch of like pioneers back in like the 70s that came up with a bunch of stuff that, I think kind of, you know, went on to kind of form the foundation, but I think the iPhone, have you ever had one of those army flashlights that's like a bent pipe? It's like an L shape.
Oh yeah, sure. Uh-huh.
And those things usually had like an outer lens cap type thing that you could screw off.
Yeah, because you could do like a blue filter or red filter,
or reading maps.
Yeah,
you know, in enemy zones, you know,
or just like changing the mood.
Yeah, totally. You're like, hey,
you want to go back to my tent and read some maps?
This caravan is a pretty sweet home from the junior high dance, huh? It's red. I think that was called the PD or panty dropper in military parlance.
What?
Yeah, it's like DP turned around.
Oh my god.
Yeah, but
so it's drop panties though.
Oh, Probably not.
Yeah, no, probably not.
And that sounds like really unsanitary.
Yeah.
I'm not a food
professional. I think people should probably wear pants when they prepare food, though.
I think always. Yeah. Yeah. I have prepared food, and I always have done it with pants on.
Yeah. At least wear an apron. I want a layer of fabric between things and the food.
Yeah. Well, so anyways, those Army flashlights. One of the, I think maybe the sort of default one was it was like a clear lens, but it had concentric rings of like a rib.
Okay.
And that's called some kind of lens that I didn't jot down. But apparently that's what the VPL research iPhone used.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So it was basically a VR headset.
Yeah.
To provide you some sort of stereoscopic experience.
Yeah, I guess so.
Huh. Yeah. That's interesting.
I just thought it was crazy that it was called the iPhone.
Yeah, I think that's fucking cool.
Thanks. So
yeah.
Did I.
Great. Yeah. How many points do I get?
You get 2 points.
Okay, that sounds a one for each eye.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some added invisible numbers. I don't know how invisible numbers work.
They're just zeros before the two, I assume.
Yeah.
For the purposes
effectively
of scoring
today,
efficiency.
Right now, they are. Yeah.
Later, they could be worth, they're cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
They could be worth a lot later.
User, if you're listening and you're a research mathematician, I don't really mean that. I don't want you to go into some sort of psychological spiral here.
No, you don't need to tweet
this
at him.
Room, imaginary numbers still work the same for you. Because I think the Unabomber, I think that's one of the things he worked with. I think he worked in that wing of mathematics that use imaginary numbers.
Oh, okay.
And just from what I know about Kaczynski, he seems like a fragile-minded bunch. So
sure.
I don't want to.
Yeah, no, we don't need any sort of cabin-related manifesto situations happening to us necessarily.
We don't
have any power. And
don't nail us a big spring-loaded jar of nails or anything.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
I mean, unless it'll, like, just build me a deck. If you can do a spring-loaded jar of nails that will build me a deck without me doing anything, let's do that.
I feel like that's just a pubic hair away from getting Wile E. Coyote'd to death by something. You know?
It's true.
Best
trade
intentions.
The Acme Corporation is riddled with good intentions. Okay, Chris, you got one, two, or three?
Two.
Number two. Okay. From the makers of Palm, ou Pomme de Terre, it's La Chose Française Arbitraire. That's the arbitrary French thing. The only thing that's French about this is the name. Here's the question I have for you. Boy. The Lawnmower Man from 1992.
Oh.
Really sucks, huh?
Dude, so I was curious if this was going to come up, but I don't think I've ever seen it.
No, never?
I don't think.
Okay.
Because, I love to go on and on about how much I love the streaming service Shudder.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like it might have been on there at some point. So
I could see it because it's sort of horror.
I could have watched it in like a blackout.
Sort of.
Like on, like, you know, after I came up from the bars or something.
Yeah, you're just like, fuck it, let's put Lawnmower Man.
There's no, like, it would be so interesting to see a list of movies I've watched in that state and just compare, like, oh, wow, I don't remember any of these.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I guess by definition, I shouldn't remember any of that list.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyways.
Yeah. That should be, those are movies you watched while time traveling, as David Tell used to put it.
Oh, yeah,
and,
I like that term. I like that term.
I like it, too. I think it's a quaint way of talking about completely losing your faculties.
It's good. It's forgiving.
Yeah.
But wait, so does Lawnmower Man, does it have a bunch of like cringeworthy like 90s sort of like CG stuff?
It does.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's from 1992. It has basically like the sort of PlayStation 1 level boxy vector graphic sort of thing happening.
Gotcha.
The movie depicts, Pierce Brosnan plays a virtual reality scientist.
Is a bad start.
Yes.
Yeah.
His name is Larry in the movie. And Larry is
crazy choice.
Yeah. Larry lives in this town, and there's a guy, I can't remember the guy's name now, but there's a guy that like works.
Does he have a British accent?
I think so.
No.
Yeah. I mean, I don't.
So my wife says to me, Larry.
I don't think Pierce Brosnan's ever not had a British accent in a thing that he's done.
I don't know. I really haven't seen a lot of his shit. But anyways, don't let me sidetrack.
No. So there's a guy that is basically dressed like Stewie from Family Guy. who is slow in the in the early 90s sense, where they're like, just act as like hard R word as possible for the movie.
Yeah.
And he also mows lawns. And Pierce Brosnan is like, well, this guy would be a great candidate for my experiments with virtual reality. And so he like hooks him up with that. And he's got like a monkey that's on the virtual reality too. And all these things get smarter. And then basically the guy that does the lawnmowers gets so intelligent that he becomes the internet at the, in the end of the movie.
Really?
Yeah. He basically like exists throughout everything all the time. And then they kind of have to talk him down from destroying the world. And he decides to take off. And that's sort of the whole plot of the movie.
Wait, so who's the lawnmower man?
The
I'm kidding.
Oh yeah.
No. It's pretty clear.
And the funny thing, so it is you know, the there's a short story by Stephen King called The Lawnmower Man that is a completely different short story.
Oh, it's not even related?
It's not at all related.
It's not even like supposed to be based.
So what I know is that Stephen King had the rights were available for the title. The company that made this movie bought the rights for the title.
Uh-huh.
They made this movie. They said it's Stephen King's Lawnmower Man. Stephen King spent a lot of time suing them to be like, hey,
no,
this isn't even about what my story is about. Because his short story is like a guy hires a guy to come out and mow his lawn. And the guy who mows his lawn turns out to be a satyr. Like Pan, so
yeah,
like a hoofed forest god.
Yeah, he's good at playing the pan flute, probably.
Yeah. And then the dude, like, the satyr, like, murders the guy. And that's the entirety of the Stephen King short story. There's, like, not a lot to it. And they decided to go, like, oh, well, we'll just do this thing about a lawnmower man.
Wouldn't that be insane if in a sort of, like, from the people who brought you, like, the switch up of Greenland and Iceland, who I guess would actually just be the Vikings, if the story...
I assumed it was D2 the Mighty Ducks.
No, if the Stephen King story was actually just the narrative that Sling Blade was based on.
That would be funny. Oh, my God.
I'm kind of a lawnmower, man.
I'm kind of a lawnmower. That's not right. Shouldn't have mowed that.
Reckon I'll have me the biggins. I'm a lawnmower man at all. Like biggins.
So yeah, that's it's not a good movie. It's a confusing movie. It cost a lot of money at the time. I remember my parents going to see it when I was a kid, because I would have been 11 when it came out.
In the theaters?
I remember them going to see it, yeah. Huh. And I remember asking them what it was like, and they're like, wasn't very good.
Were your parents like big like horror movie people?
No.
Oh,
no.
Why? What was the appeal?
I think just because it was a big release movie.
Oh, was it really?
It had computer graphics. Like, it was a huge deal that this movie was like, you know, it was gonna have this dude's face that like squirms around like a fucking screensaver, and that was what it was.
I totally associate that with a buddy of mine and his family, and they watched a lot of like just shit low budge horror stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what's, I think the first horror movie I maybe ever saw, if we're not counting Jaws, was not Candyman. I always think of like Lawnmower Man, Candyman. Ooh, this was all around the same time. Dr. Giggles.
Oh, Dr. Giggles.
Did you ever see that?
No, but I remember seeing the box in the Blockbuster.
True.
And knowing like... Dr. Giggles.
Yeah,
because it's like a surgical mask with like shit, like crazy ass teeth behind it, I think is what the box was.
Honestly,
I
can't even picture it.
Yeah.
I just remember seeing it way too young. I was probably like 10.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I just like, I came from a like strictly no horror movies like family. My mom was like, even though she wouldn't admit it, pretty caught up in like the whole satanic panic and all that shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I remember
sure.
at one point my mom, you remember Bat Dance?
The Prince song, yeah.
I remember my mom giving me some weird spiel about like Prince being like a devil worshipper.
Whoa.
And I mean, I don't remember when he converted. It could have been after that, but I don't think Prince had anything to do with like Satanism,
no, but
you know?
But yeah, the
and how did the bat dance make poor Betsy Flannery think that that man was just like, you know who's the man for me? Beelzebub. Yeah.
She was like, look, he wears pants that don't have ass cheek coverings.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And he's playing a song about dancing with bats. And who else dances with bats but Satan?
Yeah. And I guess like Meatloaf.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess that personifies himself as a bat.
Yeah. Meatloaf thinks he is the bat
or
escaping hell.
Something. Dude. Holy shit. That guy's weird. Yeah.
Great job on La Chose Francaise Arbitraire. I'm gonna give you one whole point for that. One point. Good job.
Any invisible numbers?
No, it's just a single hash surrounded by its own sadness.
Go back to my cabin and pout.
Okay, so I have 1 through 4 left.
1 through 3.
1 through 3.
And 5.
1 through 3 and 5. Yeah. Okay, let's do number one. Let's do number one. That sounds good.
Okay, do you have a vague idea about super hot?
Super hot?
Super hot.
Okay. Oh, shit. So, okay, here's what I'm going to say. I think that it's a virtual reality game for the PlayStation where you are a guy shooting and you basically get to continually play the levels over and over again until you figure out the physics of how to shoot everybody before you get shot. But that could be a completely different thing. So, I'm going to say also that this is an also, not a instead of. That it's some sort of virtual reality hot tub simulator that may or may not be a time machine, but in which you sit and a lot of people got chlamydia from it.
Okay, it's not a lot to unpack, but some.
Yeah.
So I had you over to my home to play some VR recently.
Yeah, we played Saber something.
I think we just
Beat
played
Saber.
That, right?
Yes.
That's all we played. Okay. Yeah, so I couldn't remember if this came up, if I'd like shown you it or not, but it's just got such... So by the way, your first one, shock to the listener, it was not the STD hot tub simulator.
It's not the virtual STD hot tub simulator?
Yeah, no, it's not that.
What? Yeah. Guys, I'm really sorry about that. I thought we had
That's
something.
A different VR game just called Daddy Vector.
Whoa.
Yeah.
He's just a vector
daddy. Where your daddy is a vector for disease. Yeah. In this case, chlamydia in a hot tub. And one
well,
of those,
you get to pick the disease, right?
One of those 70s ones that looks like quaint, like you cut the top off of like a tiny town's water tower.
Yes.
It's got a real Petticoat Junction feel to it.
Oh, shit. There we go.
Yeah. But no, you're in a... many, many scenarios where it's sort of like you start in a freeze frame of some sort of like scene from an action movie, and it's very like vectory graphics. Speaking of vector, the daddy STD simulator.
Vector.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I played this game, honestly. I think I have. Because, yeah, when you move, time advances. But as long as you're standing still, it doesn't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's crazy. You end up doing, like, weird little, like Matrix bendies and shit in your living room. It's one of those ones you definitely, like, want to make sure the shades are drawn. Because otherwise you look like you're... like doing a weird limbo game with glowing wands on each hand.
I played it at my buddy's house, not in VR.
I didn't know this. It's a non-VR game, originally.
Yeah,
which is so fucking weird.
I imagine in VR it would be even more interesting because it's cool as like... it's a three-dimensional thought puzzle. I mean, that's really what it
for
is.
Sure.
It's not
definitely.
An action game. It's just okay.
It's a puzzle.
I have to shoot these four guys, and when I move... their bullets come at me, so
totally,
I have to figure out how to move and hit. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's like a puzzle game in an FPS format, and then with the weird time mechanic, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's just got such an absurdly hilarious name and
super hot.
Well, and I didn't just say that because I'm a goof and I like to goof around. When you play the fucking game, anyone who knows, it just continually throughout it, it just goes super hot. Super hot, and it always does it in pairs. And it says it, I've got to say, exactly like that. So yeah, I don't know. It's just, it doesn't sound like what it is. It's like, oh, super hot. I bet that's some bullet time shit where I fucking bend around and look like a no. Oh, and also, why was that ever a non-VR game? That's crazy.
No, it's weird because it sounds like it would be way more fun VR.
It so totally is, yeah.
But I do think that there's probably some inherent value in having just the soundtrack play on a day-to-day basis for anybody, you know? Walking around and you hear super hot, super hot. And you're like, yeah, you know what? I kind of am. I'm gonna keep strutting through my late capitalist day and try to keep this together.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things on my like playlist of things that I just like say to myself out loud when I'm alone to make myself laugh. I'll just do that like two or three times in a row.
Super hot. Super hot.
Yeah, doesn't that feel good?
It does. It feels great.
Throw a maniacal giggle in afterward.
Yeah. So. Listeners, I'm going to channel Jason Mantzoukas here, but if you guys are going to the Bone Zone anytime during or after this podcast, I want you to look in each other's eyes and say, super hot. Super hot.
Or I almost spit all over myself. As an addendum to that, play a sex game with your partner, where they only get to thrust or move their body in equal increments to while you wildly wave your hands.
Oh, yeah. If you're not moving, they can't move. That's an interesting way to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
And, like, don't have your movement play into the act of coitus. Have it just be, like, really unsexy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to describe it as, like, the hand movements that Andrew Yang made in the debates.
Yeah, yeah.
Just, you know, real weird, like someone else was controlling your arms for you.
you can channel some Bob Dole. Maybe you can't even get your hand open.
That's just gonna be a stalemate, though. That's gonna be what Mormons call steeping.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, where you just put it in and just it's a ship in like a harbor. Yeah,
just gonna hang out.
Yeah,
wait till
it's not a dry dock.
Wait till dawn.
It's a wet dock.
Yeah. All right. How many points do I get for super hot? Super hot.
69 points.
Oh, shit.
Because, Nate, you are super hot. I'm only going to do it one time.
Okay, well, hey.
So many times, I'm sorry.
No, I that's so many points. Thank you.
It's sexy points. That's why.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you know.
Nice. okay, so, Chris, let's see. One, two, or three. I'm gonna give you the. I had a backup topic. We're gonna bring the backup topic into play.
Oh, ooh,
why not?
Two,
number two. Okay, we're gonna play Is It or Ain't It?
Okay,
this week it's Is It or Ain't It, a virtual reality game.
All right,
Super Hot is not one of the options. It can only be said twice. If you buy Super Hot twice, you have to say it four times. So Is It or Ain't It? Number one, Nestor's Funky Bowling. Is that or ain't that a virtual reality game?
I think that is.
You are correct. Do you remember what system that's from?
Is that from Virtual Boy?
It fucking is.
Yeah,
well done,
dude.
Well done, yes.
I had a weird leg of Virtual Boy research.
I had a friend, my friend Jeremy growing up had a Virtual Boy.
Really?
Yeah.
I only ever played one at a KB Toys.
Yeah, he had it, and like I would go over and play, and we would just like, I feel like for one fall or something, we played for hours on end, right?
Really?
And you'd just go fucking blind in there, because it was just red line vectors of everything. So when you backed away from it, suddenly, I mean, and this is to say, so I've been over to Chris's house recently, we played PlayStation VR, which is an incredibly immersive experience where you really lose your sense of where you are or even how you're positioned in space. The Virtual Boy is this thing where it sat on a tabletop and you basically pressed your face into a mask that only gave you red and darkness. And I would play the Mario Tennis game on that system. All the time.
That's what I played at KB. Like, that's what I remember.
And that game
playing
was a blast. Yeah. But it was always just like super disorienting.
It looked like if you had, so like, wasn't the original Game Boy was sort of like a dark green monochrome display?
Yeah, because it was that dull green background, an avocado green, and then you were layering black black LCD on it.
This was like the inverse of that, but it was like red and black, and then it had this weird what do you call that, like parallax illusion to create the illusion of 3D.
It was basically like when you go to the eye doctor and they just keep moving flipping the lenses until things feel further away. That was all it was.
I don't understand how that ever got out of like R&D. It was a shit experience.
It's in that weird window of time where Nintendo's just like, anytime there's a peripheral opportunity, like, let's throw it out there. It's like, fuck it, why not?
I guess you could buy a printer for a Game Boy at one point, couldn't you?
You could!
I forgot about it. It was like an adding machine, though. It was like receipt taking.
Yeah, and you could print, I guess, stickers you design in a bitmap on your Game Boy?
I guess.
Which
I know
everybody wants to.
Or just like
and
a
I'm sure there's actually, there's probably a closet industry now.
Yeah, totally.
The Nestor's Funky Bowling was a Virtual Boy game. You are correct.
So did you play it at your buddy's?
I did not.
Oh, okay.
I never played that one. I can only assume it was fine. I mean, all the games, the thing with Nintendo is like all the games always work well.
Uh-huh.
The peripherals don't always work well, right?
Sure.
Like the power glove worked like shit.
Yeah.
The robot guy didn't do anything. The track and field pad thing didn't work particularly well.
Oh, yeah.
It was like that mat that you could roll out. Yeah,
totally, yeah.
Yeah. One of my dad's old friends in Virginia's kids had one, and the only time I ever experienced it was hanging out with them in the basement of their house, because that's where all of our Nintendos were stored at certain points in our lives.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Go to the basement and play.
Yeah, that was a
get
real,
out of here.
That was a real thing, yeah.
Go get video games and Radon.
I had paused because I was like, was that an Atari 2600 title? I was like, oh, no, it's Poison.
Yeah, it's just Poison.
Basement Poison.
That gas is poison.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's odorless and colorless. Okay, number two, I Expect You to Die. Is that a VR game or not?
No.
It actually is. It's a
really?
PlayStation VR game.
Oh.
I Expect You to Die.
Is this one of these ones where like one person's in VR and then another person is like helping from not in VR?
Yes, I believe it is. Okay, I'm gonna read you a little info on it real quick. So the player must solve puzzle scenarios ranging from breaking out of an airplane in a car to surfacing from an underwater escape pod. The events are timed. So yeah, I think these are things where you're in it and somebody else can be telling you stuff around the outside.
Right, totally. There's a bomb defusing game. I think it's called Keep Talking and Nobody Gets Hurt.
Oh yeah,
like
yeah, sure,
and it's the same dynamic of the person in VR like party game type thing.
Yeah, that's like I can't remember what the there was a silly space team maybe is what it's called. There's an app that you're all on the same Wi-Fi or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And everybody gets different things, and you all have to yell out the stuff that's supposed to happen, because you're never instructed to do what you're supposed to do. You're instructed to do what someone else is, and you keep doing that.
Right, exactly. Like, you're on the bridge, and I'm, like, in engineering and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, toggle the space flange.
Yeah, and isn't it, like, it's, like, intentionally convoluted or something?
Oh, yeah, it's, like, absurd on purpose.
Yeah.
Cause it's,
that sounds fun.
Yeah, I think it would be fun. Get a group of people together.
Yeah.
Okay, number three, this is your last one, and is it or ain't it a VR game?
Okay.
Virtua Fighter. Is that a VR game?
No. I mean, not the one I know.
Yeah,
I
don't, no, you're...
It was
you're,
never adapted, was it?
You're correct.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's the one I know of is the Sega Saturn version of the game.
Yeah.
It's blocky as fuck.
Oh,
it's an arena fighting game.
Yeah.
I didn't see any virtual reality versions of this game exist yet.
That'd be fun as hell, though, because it would be like so easy to render. It's not like graphically intense.
Yeah.
You know, because
if you were
like
just like, if you were like six cubes.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is be like, I want to punch those six spheres.
There's a boxing game that's, I don't know if it's cross-platform, but they've got it for the PSVR. And it's just got abysmal reviews. But that would be, like, so fun to do boxing.
Yeah, know? Yeah. Because that way we wouldn't have to actually hit each other.
Exactly.
And then we do that all the time.
Yeah.
We're hitting each other right now.
Oh, yeah.
We're just really good at taking punches.
It's crazy. Like, my voice isn't even changing.
No.
I'm just getting pounded in the eye right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's wild. Like, I'm just, like, constantly below the belt with this guy. Just all in the dick. And I'm still talking to you. It's
and when
great.
I say getting pounded in the eye... I mean, taking one in the day. Right in the deep, right in the Dave P.
Right in the Dave P. Doe.
All
right. So, Chris, you get 2 points for Is It or Ain't It?
Excellent.
Very good. And so I've got one. No, I have 2, 3, and 5. Is that right?
I've messed up my ironclad system here.
Okay.
What was the last one you picked?
I think I picked number one last.
Oh, yeah, of course. The name that shall not be named again, because I have to do it in twos.
Super hot.
Yeah.
Super hot.
Damn it, Nate.
I know.
Okay, yeah, so you can do 5 or two.
Two or five? Think. Okay.
Yeah, that sounds right.
All
right.
Let's do number five then.
Okay. Do you have a vague idea about virtuality?
Virtuality?
Virtuality.
Virtuality.
Yeah.
Not virtuosity, virtuality.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So it's a portmanteau of reality and virtual, right?
I think probably. So it's topical.
Oh, geez. Wait.
Huh.
Now, see, you threw me off on the topical. Oh, no, it's topical.
Oh, that wasn't supposed to be a hint. It's not, it was just a portmanteau of the topic.
Yeah. It's not.
You moved.
Yeah, yeah. No, okay, great. I thought you were making some sort of like,
no,
it's topical
no.
to the times we live in, where
oh,
everyone
no, no,
is experiencing
no, no, no.
virtuality.
No.
Because it was like virtue signaling and reality.
All of a sudden, Nate just goes, wait a second, is it the simulation we all live in? And then I just have this Truman Show reveal.
Yeah, and then we realize like, oh, this isn't a podcast at all. I'm talking into the wind.
Yeah, your wife is an actor. Actor.
Oh, God.
Actor.
Super hot. Super okay, so virtuality, I'm going to assume, yeah, it's a portmanteau of virtual reality, but it's also about the idea that we don't live in a reality that exists. We, in fact, occupy an entirely fabricated field in which we attempt to live our lives. Like the Matrix, but not like the Matrix. This isn't to say that it's a digital virtuality so much as that maybe scientifically speaking, there are infinite potentials for alternate realities that we could be in, and we're in one, and we'll call it virtuality.
So you're right about the portmanteau.
Hey, great. That's kind of all I was confident about, so I'm happy with that.
But gonna have to stop you from that,
yeah.
that point forward.
Yeah, no, that's
yeah.
that's good.
No, that's how
yeah.
the game goes. Uh-huh. That's how it goes. So I think you and perhaps listeners in our age group will totally remember this, and it's slightly convoluted, but I'm going to take you back to, let's say, 1993.
Ooh.
St. Louis.
Okay.
A Arches. mall situation known as Union Station. I got a little bit mixed up earlier, and I looked at the Galleria, which I think is another St. Louis shopping mall.
Okay.
Is
this, before you go, is this
yes.
one of those like pod-based virtual reality things where you would pay for like
with,
a half an hour and you'd
yeah,
go stand in it?
It was crazy expensive, and there was it looked like
do you have like a floor octagon?
Yeah, like it's like if you were getting a drink on the bar in like Star Trek The Next Generation, I
yeah.
feel like you'd be sitting in one of these, and it was like a hip-high, sort of like a walker for a baby,
okay.
except it's the opposite. It's so that you don't walk your baby ass out of there.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so apparently, because I had trouble, I was like, I just started Googling like Chris Deaton childhood experience of seeing VR in a mall in the Midwest, and that yielded very piss poor results.
Which is sad because
yeah.
we know they have more information on you than that than they're letting. They're letting us know.
I think it was a little calorically deficient at the moment because I threw down my computer and just started like fitfully crying. But then I really tightened up my search terms, and it turns out it's an Amiga technology.
No way.
Shit you not, sir. It's called the Amiga 1000 CS, and it was bought by a company that used to be called, I think they were British or something, so they don't believe in like seasoning or interesting names. So it was
sure.
called like the W Company or something like that.
Great. Yes. Welcome to the W.
Dude, then complete 180 as if Lane, the character from the TV show Mad Men, just busted in there. And I was like, oh, how about this? And they just dropped virtuality on them.
Nice.
Just portmanteaus up in the house. But yeah, anyways.
Got to carry those coats.
So they bought the Amiga 1000 CS, and there was I think there was a stand-up model and a sit-down one. So there
okay.
was some sort of little like blood pressure machine-looking version where you sat down. But anyways, you might remember, I think the thing that almost all of those units were playing was a game called Dactyl Nightmare.
Oh, yes, fuck, I do remember that.
Yeah.
You had like a gun, and pterodactyls would just fly
yeah.
at you, and that was the whole thing.
Yeah. And it's crazy because truly, I think my estimate of 92 is about correct as to when you would see these in like malls all across America. But like they had, you know, your little, I guess in PSVR parlance, it would be like the motion controller, the little thing in your hand, or like, you know, a Wii remote that my roommate had in college several years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Or shit, 10 years ago, I guess. 11 more. But anyways.
It was decades ago.
But my point is, like, this setup was, it was fundamentally, like, the same shit.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so Dactyl Nightmare was, you were, like, fighting pterodactyls or something like that.
Which, okay, so dactyl meaning in, I think in the Latin, that it's just, like, having fingers, right?
Yeah, but I think this was pterodactyl.
Well, no, I know that it is.
Oh,
but
okay.
Dactyl
okay.
Nightmare would actually be, like, just hands coming at you. That would be a dactyl nightmare. Like, if I was actually having a dactyl nightmare, it would just be hands trying to grab and probe me.
Yeah, I was thinking of, like, it's like a really poorly marketed VR game. Like, if you had,
oh, yeah,
like that Surgeon Simulator game.
Yeah!
Where it's, like, really hard just to, like, hold things.
Yeah, you can't, like, even grab a well, we both listened to How Did This Get Played.
I was trying not to say it. Yeah.
No, we can tell, like, you know.
Not getting any free advertising.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amiga is paying for this shit. but yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's... I remember, so I definitely remember that game,
yeah.
And that's like a Dave and Buster's kind of game, too. It was in those sorts of places.
Oh, I bet,
I remember that, and there was another game that was basically like a mech war game that was more advanced, because you were a little more like cockpity, but it was pretty
totally.
Much the same situation.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know, I think it's the original one, but... The original Dactyl Nightmare, that is, that I remember like seeing in the mall as a child. But apparently there's a sequel. It's such a great name. Dactyl Nightmare 2. Race for the eggs! There's an exclamation point at the
Race
end.
For the eggs!
Eggs!
Somebody's got to get to those eggs!
Yeah, totally.
Oh my God.
There was apparently a Pac-Man VR for that platform.
So you really felt like you were eating the pellets?
Oh, I'm sorry. So that's for the 2000 series. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, realistic pellet consumption.
Yeah. Right. You're just like, ow, ow, ow.
Yeah. It was VR, but it's had the same sound chip as the Atari 2600.
Yeah, we're really
barf,
showing our podcast
barf.
Listening.
Yeah, oh,
standards
oh God,
here.
Yeah. Let me just do a monologue from another. How about, hey, you guys know the story of Adnan Syed?
Right, yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah. You know what? I think we should start a serialized podcast.
I once told a coworker, a man you know, to check out that podcast, and I looked over a few minutes later, and he's typing into a Google search serial podcast, but like the way that you spell like Count Chocula.
Sure. Yeah. Which honestly, like,
and I thought, wait, dude, like, what about what I just explained to you makes you think that this was like the General Mills podcast? Like, it was the most
Kellogg's
shit.
Presents.
Yeah. It's like, wait a second, man.
Imprisoned Aaron Man, the story. Great. What how many points are you gonna give me for that situation, Chris?
5 points.
Five, damn.
Yep.
Damn. I'm going to win here unless I give you like 70 points at this point, cuz you gave me the sexy 69 points.
I don't think you're accounting for the extremely creative math that I'm hoping that you will do.
Ooh, creative math.
Yeah.
Okay.
It means nothing. It's just words.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I'm a little confused honestly, but I'm into it. That's what matters.
That's why I'm just going to keep staring deeply into your eyes.
I feel connected.
Yeah.
I feel like we're really close right now.
It's an illusion.
Yeah. It's virtual reality.
This is a trick.
Okay,
hey,
Chris.
You look chubby in that shirt. This is called naked.
Aw, damn it. Yeah. You're like one of those...
Pull you.
You're going to flay my mind.
Like a major league pitcher. Think there's going to be a curveball? Bam, fastball down Broadway.
And nobody's got a trash can to bang for me, so.
Ready for the changeup with a veneer of verbal abuse? Because it's coming for you.
Oh, shit. All right. One or two, Chris? One or two?
One.
Number one. do you have a vague idea about Project Morpheus?
Oh, yeah. I have like a really vague idea. I feel like that is the like R&D name, like when they have like a working title in a company for something that I know under a different name.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah. That is absolutely correct.
Not correct, you know.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean it is. Like sure. that's what it is. That is technically what it is. It's the placeholder name for a developed virtual reality system known as the PlayStation VR.
One I have.
Yeah, they called it the Project Morpheus.
That's
because
such a cool name. That's the god of sleep, right? Or dreams? Is it dreams?
Yeah, and also like it's a Matrix reference, I assume, right?
I'm not familiar with the film.
You're not?
I'm kidding.
That's funny. No. That would be really good. Let's spend the next hour, and I'll just explain what The Matrix, the movie,
oh,
was.
Oh, God. I will.
Okay, so
I will spend the next hour fashioning this beer can into an implement of suicide.
there are different kinds of pills, okay? If you take one kind of pill, you're a cuck, and if you take the other kind of... I know. It's terrible. Great work. I'm going to give you, let's see, I'm gonna give you 72 points for knowing that was a placeholder name for another technology. All right. Okay. So I have just five left. Or no, not five. I just picked five. I have number two left.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
or maybe three.
No, I think you have two.
Okay.
Where did three go? Huh? That's a good question, though.
There was never any three at all. That's the magic.
There was a three. One. Maybe that was a three at one point?
No.
Oh, you said this one already, so that one's off the table.
Oh, is that Virtual Boy?
No, there's still some material to mine there. I had Beat Saber.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, we played that, so that's... Okay.
That was kind of a bad...
Well, let's do whatever the one that's left. Four? Is that what you said? Or two? Two.
Yeah, I've got this one, and then I've got like a pretty thin backup that we could just throw in if you want.
Well, yeah, we'll do the thin backup at the end. Let's do this one.
All right.
What's this one?
So, do you have a vague idea about 3D Tetris or V Tetris?
Ooh. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I assume it's a Tetris game based in the popular Tetris Russian block-moving franchise.
Okay.
Where it exists in three dimensions. So perhaps instead of filling a two-dimensional XY field, a bucket, maybe you have a sphere that you're putting blocks into and trying to fill the sphere out to make lines in the sphere break. But that may be too complicated, actually, now that I think about it. I'm just thinking about how that game would actually play, and you'd be like, fuck, this is, like, I'm spending all my time rotating. I don't know how to do anything. So maybe it's just, it's like 3D chess in Star Trek, where it's like regular Tetris,
okay,
but they're just stacked, and you're dealing with multiple tiers at the same time, and if you clear the bottom tier, the tiers above it fall down, and then you got all these things going on. That's my guess.
Yeah, okay. And actually this might be a problem where my idea of this isn't concrete enough to where we just kind of sit here and go, "Huh, yeah." Cuz like you're pretty close. And also I just realized that I kind of gave it away when I was like, "Oh yeah, that's under my Virtual Boy heading in the notes that you're looking at." I think I have this straight. So 3D Tetris was a US title. V Tetris was Japanese only.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And confusingly, if you're looking at the great knowledge resource Wikipedia and you're looking at the pretty short list of titles on Virtual Boy, you look at V Tetris and it's like this was only released in Japan. It's like confused as being like, you know, there's this other game called V Tetris, which was a US title. Not the same game.
No, weird.
You go down like 120 pixels on that page and get to the fucking entry for 3D Tetris, and it's like the American version of V Tetris. And I'm like, wait.
But how is
120 pixels above this piece
of information?
You said
this was the American version.
I was led to believe, hey, don't be fooled. This is a radically different game. And so anyways, I got kind of confused, and I had like a hunger headache and was cranky. And so one of them, or maybe both of them, has like a cylindrical mode, which is almost exactly what you were
like
describing, but it was
okay.
as a sphere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you're playing Tetris on, what's that meat called that you get? The Greek meat.
Euro meat?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Euro meat is always in a cylinder on a rotating spin. Yeah, and then you play Tetris where you had to put Tetris blocks on Euro meat.
Exactly.
That was my mental picture.
If there was a big hairy man with a sword in Tetris, it'd be exactly like that. Yeah.
I mean, it's Tetris. It could happen. Yeah.
Actually, I guess Russia probably like rife with sword wielding swarthy men.
I would assume so. Yeah.
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 So anyways, I brought this up not to bring something up that I possibly knew even less about than you. But I thought this was interesting. So you look at the game, and aside from the cylindrical thing, which maybe only exists in the Japanese version, I don't fucking know. It really just kind of looks like Tetris inside of a Virtual Boy. Going back to my thing about how Virtual Boy kind of looks like a red Game Boy jammed up in your swimming goggles.
Yeah, so it's just like regular Tetris, but red and further away.
Yeah, feeling. And so that reminded me of something, which is Tetris Effect. Are you familiar with this?
I've heard the term, but enlighten.
I think it's cross-platform. So it's a contemporary VR game. It's definitely on PSVR, again, my platform. But it seems like the same dumb shit, where you just have Tetris inside of VR.
Interesting.
Which is dumb, really, you know?
Because unless you're like manipulating in three-dimensional space, it's not super interesting.
Right, but despite what has to be the case,
yeah.
I've heard nothing but amazing reviews about it.
Crazy.
I watched a video of it today, and I got so pumped that I almost walked into my living room and downloaded it.
Holy shit.
And then I realized I'm trying to research a podcast that, again, yeah. I did hours of research
Oh,
on.
Yes. I but, mean, weeks.
And I'm hoping nobody who pays me is listening to this. I mean, I assume the odds are kind of low. Sorry. I mean, I had all kinds of shit I needed to do.
Oh, yeah.
And I
yeah.
was like, oh, God, like, I got to leave by this time. And I was so compelled by stupid ass Tetris and VR that I thought, hey, maybe I should drop everything and play this right now. I didn't though.
But
so I'm a 35-year-old man with conviction and willpower.
But you will probably buy it later and play.
I think
play
the
it.
Second I get home, instead of finishing up the work that I actually didn't get done, I'm probably gonna go play Tetris
yeah.
in motherfucking VR.
Yeah, I mean yeah, I'm a cube now.
It looks rad.
Yeah,
sorry.
I mean, it sounds cool.
That
it sounds
roar
like,
of springs is
oh,
me emphatically
yeah.
pounding on the table.
It doesn't pick up as heavy as it sounds like out here.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, no, I think that's really interesting because Tetris is, I mean, just Tetris as a concept is such a weird,
yeah.
long-lasting thing, right?
Oh, it's like totally evergreen,
the,
man.
Yeah, of all of the things that you would think would be perennial favorites that can't be done, like, really can't be done wrong. Like, you release a new Tetris and people will buy the shit out of it because it's
oh, yeah.
just what it is, right?
Totally.
It's a known quantity, it works, and it's just spatial relations.
Yeah.
We all just secretly want to pack everything we own into the smallest space possible
oh,
and hope
dude.
That it goes away.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Just disappear my shit because
yeah.
I don't want to look at it. It's great.
I've done it with old pants.
No.
If you get them in a tight enough formation, they just fucking disappear. Amazing, yeah, yeah.
The dissolution of
you're
the
pants. Unflattering, and you're unflattering, and now you're in the shape of an L.
Gone.
Yeah, dude. That's how
super
I,
hot.
That was,
super hot.
That's how I the art of decluttering your life, whatever that lady's name is.
Yeah, Marie yeah. Kondo.
Yeah, yeah, Marie Kondo. Can you disappear shit?
Yeah.
I'm a magician.
Boof.
Yeah.
Gone. Great.
Well,
okay.
That's...
yeah. So okay. What are you going to give me points wise on that Jim Jam?
Not one, not two, but three.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the number of licks it takes to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop.
I think that was indefinite because that owl ass piece of shit just bit into it.
Well, he's a professor though, so I think he knows what he's doing.
I think that the actual data on that experiment is 1, 2, 3 crunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there was no valid experimentation.
Parenthetical, impatient owl gets beat to death by field scientists.
Yeah. All right, you got one more. You ready?
Yes.
Do you have a vague idea about cyber sickness? cyber sickness.
I I mean, I'm guessing this is not a VR title and some sort of new hypothesis on some sort of bad psychological state from being in, I don't know, some sort of a state of fantasy specifically supported by like virtual technologies and cyberspace and shit like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically motion sickness.
Oh, dude,
that you get from using VR.
That's, you know what that is?
That's what they call it.
That's motion sickness.
I know, but that's what they call it. They
call
it cyber sickness now.
Yeah, those people need to be slapped. It's not cyber sickness. Let's reserve that for a cooler, more severe thing that's way more dystopian and not quite here yet.
No, I agree.
Because going
it
back to
be...
my point from earlier, we're basically still playing Dactyl fucking Nightmare in 2020.
Yeah,
all
it's
right?
all Tetris and Dactyl Nightmare.
Dactyl Nightmare 3. Seriously, let's escape reality because this is a bummer. Yeah.
Seriously, let's get the...
get the eggs.
Yeah, seriously, let's go get the eggs, guys. Yeah. Come on. It's about time we got the eggs. Cyber sickness is nausea and discomfort caused by using VR technology. It can last for hours after participating. I'm fortunate. I've never gotten cyber sickness. Have you ever experienced cyber sickness?
No, but I'm going to point out, also noted by physicians as being a weenie.
Yeah. Yeah. They do say that a lot.
I do want to point out, though, when we'd had our little VR session, and going back to the Amiga 1000CS with its little baby rail, you know?
Yeah.
Remember when you were playing, when you were sabering beats hard that you almost fell?
Yeah, I literally almost fell into your table.
And I bring that up not just to make fun of you, but then to also make fun of me because my naive ass charged towards you. Like I took a stride.
You were like, I'm going to catch him.
Directly at you. And he's wearing this, you know, vision obfuscating
HMD. I am effectively blind.
Yeah, and he's got two rigid plastic controllers strapped into each hand.
Oh, yeah.
And he's waving around like a lunatic, and I just thought, oh, I'll save him. And I had a moment where I was shocked that you almost fell, but then I was shocked because I was like, I don't know how you didn't just belt me across the face.
No, this is like when I was, I think I was like 12 maybe. Maybe I was younger than that. Anyway, we were back east visiting my grandparents in Delaware. We went to a driving range and I was hitting balls and my dad came up and he was trying to tell me how to like swing the club, right? And hit him in the head with the backswing of the club.
Oh my God.
And it was a huge thing. But it's that sort of situation where it's like, I'm just doing the thing that I'm doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, or it's just the Bart and Lisa Simpson. Like, I'm just going to keep doing this and throwing punches. And if you get in the way, it's your own fault. And that's basically what VR is, which is why you need some sort of octagon or egg to exist in while you do it.
Yeah. No, that would really be nice to have, like, the ropes like they have in wrestling.
Yeah. I need a little, like, just some boundaries. Yeah. Even if they were like charged cattle lines where it was like zap, okay, yep, I ventured too far.
I've thought about like taping down like a segment of rope or something, but there's not a great way. Like if I could have that like out of sight when I have everything set up normally.
Yeah. You need to be able to like lower it.
Yeah, like I don't want anyone rolling it and being like, where's this tape?
You know? So what, did you like fight? Like you have cockfighting happen here or what? Like
then
what's going on?
No, I don't, Sharon. Actually, it's weird rope bondage play. Do you know what the D and P and DPDO stand for?
Do participate. So, Chris, I have a total of points for you of 84. That's how many points you have scored tonight. How many points did I score?
Wait, how many points did you say?
84.
Dude, no shit. I'm like not doing creative math. I am just straight up adding this up, and I came to 85.
Wow.
You beat me by 1 point.
I beat you by 1 point? Damn. Okay.
This seems so contrived.
It does, but that's what every episode seems like, so that's okay. That's kind of the jam of the podcast.
If only we had ropes like wrestling.
I know. We could be getting up on the corner. We could be doing turnbelt moves.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That's what the thing is, where the
turnbuckle?
Turnbuckle, yes. Thank you. Yeah. What the fuck is a turnbelt? That's not anything.
That might be a white-on-white racist term.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I know.
You're a turnbelt.
Yeah. bunch of cabbage eating turnbelts.
Turnbelt is a Civil War specific term about people who you. He was wearing a Southern belt, but now he's wearing a Union belt.
It's like an upper tank carpetbagger. I think. Gonna get on doing some fact checking on Urban Dictionary right now.
Upper tank carpetbagger. So I guess I won. But,
yes, you won.
But I didn't win anything of great import. You know, that's not what it's about. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And I will cherish it always.
Yeah. Because this is a mathematical endeavor.
Yeah.
I need the stats.
After the show's over, I'll carve it out of your chest and I'll put it in a jar and we'll leave your corpse to rot.
Like I have written in Old English tattooed across my chest. I'm the 538 politics of love, fully quantitative.
Oh yeah, you're very predictive.
Yeah, qualitative? Fuck that.
Yeah. No, who needs quality?
This isn't about feelings. This is about
quantity.
Love.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good Nate Silver poetry book or album. This isn't about feelings. This is about love. So thank you for coming back on the show. This was a lot of fun.
Thanks
we got to do a very experimental thing and kind of goof off, and I think this went very well.
Yeah.
I had a good time.
I do think the acid beforehand was a bad idea.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, we've definitely, like, eaten the table and clawed a lot of weird symbols in the walls. There is blood everywhere. But that aside, I think we had a good time.
I do too.
Yeah.
There's a real act one and act two to this.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
We should have brought that ship into the harbor before we hit record.
Oh, probably so. Yeah. I think we really, if we had kind of crested the wave of the trip before the show started, it might be a little more organized, but
I guess all honestly, I can say, man, is sorry it smells so purple.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I got purple all over me, bro.
Yeah. I think I'm crying.
I don't know what time is. What is time?
Are my pants wet?
Super hot. Super hot. Chris, is there anything you'd like to plug?
Nope.
No? All right. Great. I will plug Steno. That's the studio, the space in which we record. It's a co-working space here in Denver. It's stenodenver.com. You should check that out if you need to work somewhere. You know, you don't want to work at home. You don't want to work in someone's butt or in a coffee house. Work here. You can pay a guy. He's great. It's a really great space. Plus, you can record podcasts if you're into it. Probably. I don't know. You have to talk to him. Otherwise, I would say that, hey, if you like this show, tell some people about it and rate and review us on whatever your service is that you use. Subscribe and all that jazz. And check out our social media. We have an Instagram at A Vague Idea Podcast. We have a Twitter at A Vague Idea Pod that really no one actually interacts with, and I don't know why it's still updated. And we also have a Facebook group called the A Vague Idea Podcast Online Group Thing, where you can play Pomu Pom to Tear Online, among other things, pretty much every week. It's pretty exciting. So thank you guys so much for listening, and may God have mercy on your souls. Bye.
Bye.
A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolia, with Shannon Page and sometimes John Perros. Information about topics often come from Wikipedia, so hey, why not donate a bit to that? Sound effects are Creative Commons public domain. If you like this podcast, tell a few people, and subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. And if you happen to like reading science fiction, check out the small press I started with my friend Sean Grokowski. You can find Spaceboy books at readspaceboy.com.